All right, so the book of Haggai is dealing with the exiles, the remnant that has returned. And they have returned. So this is after the people of Israel in 722 BC were taken into captivity by the Assyrians. That's the northern kingdom. And then you have the southern kingdom, where they were taken into captivity by the Babylonians, starting around 605 and ending up the temple being destroyed in 586 BC. So these are key dates to hang on your... What are you hanging on, Harold? Your timeline? All right, so 722, 586. And so then they were... The people of Israel were in captivity for 70 years. And Cyrus made a decree and... Most believe that decree was made in 538 BC, a decree that the remnant should return back, that some should be returned back, that the temple in the city was to be rebuilt. And so now we have Haggai, who is ministering amongst the people. Sometime after they have been there, they did begin the work on the temple, but they only got so far. They only got the foundation laid. And they laid that foundation, and then they stopped, and many believe because of the hardships and difficulties from the surrounding communities and people who did not want the Jews to reestablish themselves. And so they got them to stop, and so the people invested their time in building houses for themselves, but the temple still lay in essential ruins. Only the foundation was there. And so we have King Darius the Great of Persia, and he is the king at this time, and Haggai is proclaiming a message to God's people. The first chapter, if you wanted to entitle it, you can entitle it "Consider Your Ways." And Haggai gives several messages throughout this short book. The first one, "Consider Your Ways," is found in verses 2 through 11. And basically, we've talked through it already, but just a reminder, consider your ways. Think about what you've done. You have built and invested homes for yourselves, but my house lies waste. Consider your ways. Think about how you are not having a productive harvest. And you could read and you could see how God, through the prophet Haggai, is showing them that they are not being blessed. As hard as they may be working, they are not being blessed. We see in verses 12 through 15 of chapter 1 that the people respond. The people respond, and the work resumes. The people obeyed the Lord. The people feared the Lord. The Lord declared in verse 13, "I am with you." And that is a wonderful, wonderful truth. And he declares that as an assurance to them. "I am with you." An encouragement for them to keep on working. And so they stirred up to work. And 23 days after Haggai's first message, the work has begun. All right, so Haggai declares the message, and it takes about 23 days for this work to begin. And we see that in verse 15, the date is given to us. Well, the second message camps more on that theme of God's presence. "I am with you." And we see the second message in Haggai Chapter 2. I would entitle this, "Work, for I am with you." Work, for I am with you. This second message is given 27 days after the people began to work. So this is probably at just about the time when their energy is running a little low. They might be a bit frustrated about how some of the project is going. And they just need that extra boost of encouragement. Perhaps the surrounding towns and nations are bothering them, and so they just need God's encouragement. So this is 27 days after they began to work, 50 days after Haggai's first message. You see that date in chapter 2, verse 1. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day, or the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying. And one thing that you will recognize when you study the prophets is that term, word of the Lord, or the Lord says. And that is a key phrase when you are a prophet. Why? Because as a prophet, you are God's mouthpiece. You're speaking for Him. As a preacher, and some would consider me to be a prophet in the form of I am speaking God's message, but it's because God has said in His Word. So see how when I, as a preacher, if I did not declare truth to you from God's Word, you have reason to doubt the message. And so that's why we stay close to what God's Word says. That's why we want God's Word to drive the ministry of teaching and preaching and even whatever we do as a church. We want that to be the driving force for us. All right, so we have work for I am with you. Verse 2, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. So I'm in Haggai 2:2. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying. So in other words, what the Lord is saying to Haggai is, speak to the top governor, Zerubbabel. He's the leader. He's the political leader. He's the authority. He's the one that has the finances and the plans in order to make this happen. He speaks to Joshua, who is the high priest. He's the spiritual leader of these people that have returned. And he would have had a lot of influence in the putting together of the temple, being the high priest. And then it says the residue of the people. So really, this includes everybody. Well, what is God's message? What is the second message say? Well, first of all, we see God asking the question, do you remember? Do you remember? Look at verse 3. It says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it is nothing? What's the Lord asking? What's the question? Do you remember Solomon's temple? Do you remember? Now, the very fact that Haggai, or the Lord, is asking this question tells us that there must have been some older gentleman and people amongst this group who had seen Solomon's temple. When they were young, and the Babylonians had stormed in, they remembered what Solomon's temple was like in all of its grandeur. And surely, if you look and study Solomon's temple, it was a masterful engineering feat. It was beautiful, much gold. And here God is saying, do you remember? Now, this is kind of cruel, isn't it? You might think, well, God, that temple's gone. It's nowhere. In fact, all we have is this foundation that we've been able to put together and rubble. And you're asking us to compare, to contrast, to say, do you remember? Why is this? Well, as we think about in our own lives, when we compare and contrast things, yes, sometimes you could get annoyed by the fact that if you're forced to contrast something that is vastly different and you get discouraged. But I don't think that's God's intent here, to discourage his people. But rather, I think his intent is to encourage them by the fact of, look at what we've done before. Remember what has been there, how I have blessed, how I was there. Remember that. And as you are building this, remember what we had before. And what did they have before? Well, the scriptures tell us that Solomon's temple, in all of its glory, was indwelt with the presence of God. It was called the Shekinah glory. And it was depicted in some forms as this bright light lit cloud. And it was what was filled the most holy place. It was why the high priest would enter into that every year, once a year, why it was such a fearful thing, because there God dwelt between the cherubim over top of the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. God dwelt there. And the scripture tells us that. And it seems as if that was true all the way up until Babylon came and attacked the city. And sometime within that time period, the Shekinah glory left the temple. So we have this comparison. Do you remember? This question, do you remember? And I believe, do you remember what we've had before? What do we see next? We see this theme, now work, for I am with you. Look at verse 4. Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Did you see a phrase repeated there? Be strong. Be strong. What is it that God's doing here? In fact, because you remember, God is speaking through the prophet Haggai. And he's telling Zerubbabel to be strong. He's telling Joshua to be strong. And he's telling the people to be strong. Why? Because God knew the task was a big task. It was large. And they had opposition. And they had already succumbed to that opposition, succumbed even to their own desires for themselves. But here God is saying, remember what we've had before and be strong. And what's his reasoning? Why is it that he says that? What's the basis of this strength? It's his presence. He says, I am with you. Be strong, work, for I am with you. Now, this is powerful, because the people had been in exile and now had returned, and they have had many periods of silence between them and God. And only when the various different prophets would come and speak to them did they get a glimpse of God at work and God's Spirit on the earth. Because remember, the Spirit of God didn't permanently indwell people at this time, but empowered certain people for certain times and certain things. And certainly when you would have a prophet proclaim, such as Jeremiah would proclaim in Babylon to the exiles, that's what he did. And he spoke God's message to the people, and the people would have experienced God's Spirit at work. The prophet Ezekiel doing that same thing. And here, Haggai speaking, and God is saying, I am with you. In other words, don't you get it? I am speaking to you through the prophet Haggai, giving you this message, spurring you on to come on, let's build my house. And this message is not just a message that it's not a message that you would hear from the world or something that you would want to do just because, but it's a message because God says it. This is God's house. This is God's desire. And so work, for I am with you. Be strong. That phrase, be strong, is a common one. And you hear it often in Deuteronomy and Joshua. This was a common phrase that was spoken to Joshua as he was taking over the leadership of the people. And Moses would die, and then Joshua would take them across the Jordan and into the promised land. And the message was consistent. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and of good courage. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. I'm not just repeating that phrase. It's that's how often it is in Joshua chapter 1 alone. Be strong and of good courage. And this is the message that resounds when we understand that God is with us. That God is behind this project because God wants this to happen. And so we can push on. We can push into the fog and the challenges and the darkness that's around us because God is with us. This is a theme that runs into the New Testament, isn't it? For the church. Even as the Lord Jesus gave the commission to his disciples, he reminded them by saying, I will be with you. I will be with you. And isn't it depicted so vividly with the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost? And there he was. And throughout the book of Acts, the Spirit comes and indwells people, and you don't see the Spirit leaving anymore. But he's there. And so God is there. And so, fear? Do we have fear in our lives? Yes, we do. But what is the answer to fear? God's presence. I am with you. And this reminds me so vividly of a verse that is so effective in our house with our children as they confront fears in their lives. And that is found in 2 Timothy 1:7. Because listen to what it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And we need to realize and understand that it's not God. God's not giving us this fear, but he's giving us the exact opposite. He's giving us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. That's the benefit of knowing God is present with you. And I think that's a wonderful way to just wrap up tonight, just partway through this second message. Because God knew how his people were doing in this project, in this work. In fact, in verse 5, he says, "Don't fear," at the end of that verse. And the rest of this passage will put more meat onto this and help us to understand this in even more in a more full way. Because it will bring to light God's presence is coming to the temple once again. And it's beautiful as you begin to see the prophecy of God coming. He's going to fill his temple once again. But it's interesting as you think and as you look, what temple is he talking about? What's that filling going to look like? Is it going to be a cloud, bright? Or is it going to look quite different? I'm going to leave you hanging with that. Because you can read ahead and you can begin to dig a little bit and see, yes, God is going to come and fill his temple with his glory. And why don't you do a little study and digging and see what that will look like. But tonight, remember, the answer to fear is God is with you. I am with you. Work, for I am with you. Be strong was God's message for his people as they were undertaking his task. God, thank you for the study of the scriptures. Thank you for your word. And Lord, what a blessing it is to dig into it and to study it. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us in this study. And it's exciting to see how the Bible comes to life and is put together. Lord, we thank you just that we can fellowship one more time today. And I pray that you would guide your people safely home and grant them a wonderful time together this evening, tomorrow, as they celebrate the new year. And Lord, may we be a great testimony of your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.